All right, let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being here together today, and we are thankful for all that you have done and are doing in the life of this your church. And so we pray for good days ahead. More, would you bless us with more good days ahead? And we pray for each prospective new member here taking this class, that you would help us all to learn and grow together as we get to know one another. And would you bless us? And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, you passed the first test, which is finding your way here. Finding your way here. And I got a handout here for you. And so pass this out. We have been running this class ever since the beginning. Ever since the beginning. So you are actually, if I have not lost track, this is class 41. Class 41. And a good thing we started doing last class was we started to have our elders teach each class. And so when you look at the schedule there on your handout, you see what the 6 weeks are and what we're going to cover. Now, I do want to tell you, you can ask questions anytime. Just let us know. You can interrupt anything at any time to find out the info you need. But each of our elders is going to teach a class. And so that allows you to get to know our leadership. We believe in, so you're in a Presbyterian Church in America, PCA, and we are not run by the senior pastor. I'm not in charge. We believe Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and then we have elders who have a delegated authority. Yeah, come on in, guys. You come in this way.
Do it, kids. They go.
Kids go downstairs in room 101.
Room, hey, sweetie. Room 101 downstairs.
Yeah, did you guys find that? Okay.
I don't know. We just sent our kids off.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Hey, Caleb, you want to get a name tag? Yeah. Yes. Welcome. Hey, Whitney, how you doing? We're just getting going. So that is a feature that'll help you get to know the leadership of the church as they each kind of teach a class. And let's look at the purpose of the class. So the purpose of the class is to get to know the church and get to know others in the church so that together we can pursue the mission God has called us to. And that mission, we put it this way, proclaiming Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And so that's our mission. So our mission is not up for grabs. That's been determined. And we are pursuing that mission through evangelism, discipleship, and ministry in the church. So that's what we're about. If you miss a class, and I'll show you this on the screen here. You can go to, well, I'll show you later. You can go to this website, you see trinitybernie.org. And then / Christian Ed, or at the top you'll see a tab for ministries, and you just click Christian Ed. And then, you know, if you're traveling or whatever, I am going to take attendance. So if any of the other elders following me teaching forget, you say, hey, you need to take attendance. And this way, if you miss, I'll send you that link and any other material you might need for that week. So any questions about that? Yeah, awesome. Well, so glad you're here. Prayerfully sought God's will to establish a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-centered church that would be for the community and for the Texas Hill Country. And so one of the things we've been able to do over the course of our history, we gathered a group from Kerrville that was interested in starting a PCA church, and we were able to sort of nurture that group, and then we sent them off to plant that church in 2013. And so just down the next paragraph there on the handout, We had our first worship service September 17th, 2006. So we met over at Cibolo Creek Elementary School, which is in the Herf Ranch neighborhood, right by the Valero, if you come that direction. And then we purchased land. This is 11, just over 11 acres. We purchased this land in 2009. So what was going on in the world? You remember 2008? Mm-hmm. 2000, it was a great time to buy real estate. Yeah. In 2009. And that's why we're here, because with the downturn that happened, it allowed us to purchase. So we bought very early in our life as a church, because the opportunity was there, and because we knew with prices and people moving here, we're going to get priced out. So we were able to get this property in 2009. We had some Longhorns on it, and they stayed on it for years and years and years. And then in 2014, we had our first capital campaign, and then broke ground in 2015 and completed the, we call this the Worship Center or Worship and Children's Center. We completed that in 2016. And that building has served us really well, and it's actually been copied a couple times by other PCA churches because it's a great first building. And then, as I was mentioning before class started or right at the beginning, we broke ground March 1st, 2020. COVID broke out on March 31st, 2020. We got the contract for this building, and very providential, again, God leading and guiding us, it was a guaranteed not to exceed contract. That was the first key thing that happened, because this building would have been exponentially more expensive had we not had that in place. And the contractor was just fantastic in terms of, he ordered everything early, so there wasn't supply chain problems or anything like that. And we opened this building in 2022. And the real driver for opening this building was to have this space in the gathering room, in terms of we love to get together and eat as a church. I hope you've seen that and noticed that. That gives us plenty of space to do that. It gives us plenty of space for our Christian education program, Bible studies, Sunday school classes. It also moved the adults and the youth out of that building, and then it could grow, our children's ministry could take over the space that we left. And so we're doing great in this building. We have total cost, I think, was $4.8 million and all in, and we have $600,000 left to pay down. And we are excited about that because we really see the finish line, and to be in such a good position as a church is fantastic. And so I'm going to give you this. This is a booklet about that we put together for the capital campaign. Now, this is more just for history, for you to know, okay, what am I kind of getting into? And it's some of the vision for why we built this building. And so this is older material, but it's still relevant to you know, what we're about as a church, and you can peruse that. So any questions so far? We're going to cover now, well, a couple things. One is, yeah. Oh, you got one already? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, you got one on the way in?
Yeah.
What about you guys?
We did not.
Okay.
We actually could turn it down.
Yeah. All right. Do you need two?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. We're going to talk about why we worship the way we worship. Actually, I want to
before we do that, yeah, see why I have the gray hairs coming is because of this. Let's see, I can't pull that up, but okay, so website. This is really good for you to know how to navigate kind of going into being part of the church. The main part you need to know is this events right here. Do you see that? Is everybody getting an email from me or from the church on Fridays?
Yes.
Are you getting that? Because that will help you with sign up and what's coming. That's one of our main ways of communication, is this one email that you get on Friday. But if you go to this events page, you see everything that's happened in the life of the church. Now, up until this year, we had somebody in this building doing ministry every day of the week. Now we don't have somebody. We moved something from Friday to Thursday, so now Friday is the only day somebody isn't in this building. So it's getting a lot of use. There's a lot of great activities, but you can always go, hey, when did that thing happen? You can go to the events page, and then you can go, you see here, the calendar view will give you a different view of what's going on. The other important thing is under connection. If you miss a sermon, you can click here. We have our sermons on there, sermon recordings. And this will take you to the current series, which is our James series. But you can click on, you can filter it by different series, by dates, even by scripture. If you're like, oh, what you got on Revelation? Well, I did a series on Revelation a while back, and that's on there, or speaker. Bless you. And then the worship live stream is on there. If you want that, you can see Kevin's going at it right now. That's there too, and this is a worship bulletin. You can download that as you're thinking about, hey, what's Alan going to preach on Sunday? You can go, you can click that, and it'll take you to the bulletin. Now, this might be different for you, you know, especially if you're used to a different kind of church setting. And one thing I want you to understand, God's people worship different ways. There's a lot of freedom within biblical bounds for worship. And the way we worship is, we believe, drawn from the scripture. But certainly I appreciate different traditions, different worship styles, things like that. You notice the Bible does not prescribe a certain worship style. And we need to watch that a little bit, because what people will do is they will have a preference for their style of worship or style of preaching or whatever, and then they'll make that ultimate. They'll say, well, that's the way it ought to be. And I'm going to show you how we worship, how that's drawn from the scripture, but I'm not making the case that this is the way it always should be or will be at Trinity. And so turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 6. And what I'm going to show you on this worship service is there's some main parts. And these are in the heading. So we have reflecting on God's glory, repenting of our sin. This comes across. Do you see that? And then restored for God's service. Those are the three main parts of our worship service. So, reflecting on God's glory, repenting, restored. Okay? Now, this is what we would call our liturgy. Okay? Every church has a liturgy. Ours is maybe more, we could say traditional, we could say formal, we could say specific, we could say biblical, we could say gospel driven, okay? And I'm gonna show you that. There's a direction that our worship services go. Our worship services are good for non-Christians to encounter the gospel, and we know that Christians need the gospel too, okay? And so what I'm getting at there is a Christian needs the gospel not to accept the gospel or for conversion, but a Christian needs the gospel to move deeper into the truths that we understand. The power that drew us to Christ is the same power for discipleship and walking with him. So to move, what we want to do, we want Christians to encounter the gospel and be discipled by the wonderful truths that they see there. Okay, I'm going to read Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. I'm gonna come over here to the board. I'm gonna point to you because this is where our worship liturgy comes from. Oh, I said every church has a liturgy. 30 minutes of preaching, or 30 minutes of singing, 30 minutes of preaching, that's a liturgy, okay? So it could be very formal, it could be traditional, it could be very casual, it could be very simple, but this is ours. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Okay, so this is reflecting verses 1 through 4. Isaiah sees a vision and he reflects. Now, if we go back to our bulletin, what's going on here? There's a call to worship because we understand that God takes the initiative. This is part of our theology. We don't save ourselves. God takes the initiative in our life. And so God is calling out to us to come and to worship him. We believe that people's purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We are made to worship. And so God initiates and calls us to worship. And we respond with a hymn of praise. And usually this hymn is reflective on God's character or his power. It's a hymn that could be focused on the Father, the first person of the Trinity, as it is this Sunday. So you see there, God takes the initiative. We see him, holy, holy, holy. And that's exactly what happens here in Isaiah 6, 1 through 4. And then let's keep going. The next thing that happens, look in verse 5. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, and I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King." This is a result of the reflection, "the Lord of hosts." So verse 5 there is the repenting part. It's the repenting part. And all of us, we believe repentance is not a one-time thing that you do in your life, but it is how you come in to the Christian faith and then how you continue. So repentance is a daily reality. So you see here, we would have prayed there, then we repent. Isaiah is driven to repentance because he sees the greatness and the holiness of God and how he doesn't stack up. And so this is what proclaiming the true God is about, is people are responsive to his power. And so what happens here, you get for the second time, if you're counting, you get God's word, because you had it in the call to worship. You get God's word examines our hearts. So this is, I'm going to throw up the mirror
And we're all going to look into it, and we're going to see how our character, our actions are lacking in light of the greatness and the grandeur of who God is and his holiness. Then we're going to confess our sins. So this is the second time we're praying in our worship service. So God's word cuts us to the quick. We confess our sins, and then we hear from God's word an assurance of grace that we are forgiven, and that encourages us. And then we reflect on this repentance and forgiveness we have with a hymn of grace. And we're going to do that this morning. All I have is Christ. So that kind of concludes what we could say is the second movement. So you can kind of think of it as three movements. Then we're restored for God's service, which involves prayer, the sermon, where you're going to hear. So we're praying for the third time. We pray before the sermon. We pray after the sermon. We pray before communion and after communion. So seven times we're praying in the worship service. And then we're reading scripture or hearing scripture read in the call to worship. God's word examines our hearts, the assurance of grace. So that's three, and then the sermon is four times. So you see, it's prayer saturated, it's scripture saturated. This is intentional. If you spend years and years and years at Trinity, you're going to travel through the scripture. As the call to worship changes, God's word examines our hearts, assurance of grace. I forgot to mention the confessing of our sins. That is confessing, if everything is working properly, it's confessing the sin that the sermon addresses. That's what we do in that prayer. We pray it together because we're all guilty. We believe we're all guilty in some ways. And so we're together in this. Then the sermon. And what we like to say is the points of the sermon come from the text. They're derived from the text. And then the Lord's Supper continues that restoration. And then we're sent out with a blessing, the benediction, and we sing a song at the end. And you see the rest of this. I'll pick it up in verse 6. Because, see, Isaiah makes this confession, this declaration. Woe is me. He's in a state of woe. He's in a state of misery. Look at God's grace. He fixes it. He fixes it. Verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. So the problem, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, problem solved directly with this burning coal. And then look at verse 8, Isaiah's sent out. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and say to this people. And it goes on, and he delivers to Isaiah the message that he should proclaim. And so if we have to draw out the direction, so we would call this, this is verse 6 and following. So three movements, okay? Three movements. We could say the reflecting part is a confrontation in terms of the holiness of God. So if we were to draw this out, if you're a visual learner, I'm sorry, I'm no artist, but you got, you know, this rising. Look at how holy and awesome God is. That's what we're doing in the first part of our service. We're reflecting on him. But then there's a change. We must come down to repentance and humility in the recognition of the greatness of who God is. See, if God isn't really great, then there's no real reason why we should worship. And the greatness of God drives our repentance, not our guilt, not our shame. The greatness of God does this in his holiness, and we see our need,
and we're drawn to him because he addresses that need.
The seraphim takes a burning coal, and you see the restoration and the sending out. So this is a gospel movement. What do I mean by that? Well, you must come to grips with who God is. You must come to grips with what sin is and how we're guilty. And then you must receive the good news that Christ paid the penalty for your sins. And so what I'm telling you is our worship, which I've shown you, it's drawn from Isaiah 6. You can see that. We didn't just make this up. It comes from that vision that Isaiah has, and it is a gospel-centered dynamic that's driving it, that says, here's who God is, here's who you are. Here's what God has done to provide the forgiveness for sins and to equip you for service to him. So that's kind of an overview why we worship the way that we do. Any questions, comments, things you'd like to add to that?
That's kind of what drew me.
Yeah.
I didn't understand exactly what you were doing.
Yeah.
But I have a very short attention span.
Yeah.
And the way you structure this, it forces me to take notes and pay attention.
Yeah.
And then we bring the programs home, and when I sit at my desk and go through paperwork, I always take time to go through the these first.
Yeah.
And go back over the sermons. So it has a lot of value to me, though.
Yeah, yeah. And it's meant, so you know, I mean, that's wonderful. So I call it, it's called gospel representation, you know. And the reason why we would do that is it fits for everyone. If you're not a Christian, what do you need? What do you need? You need the gospel. If you're a Christian, what do you need? You need the gospel. Now, you don't need the basic truths and to receive Christ. If you're already a Christian, you need to move deeper into, further up and further in to those truths. I kind of imagine it, it's like a diamond. Like, imagine I had a Texas-sized diamond. Like, I don't know what that would be, like baseball size. Maybe it'd be 30 carats or something. And this is true. If you walk into a jewelry store, they got the brightest lights over the counters, right? So the brilliance of the diamond, as you turn it, that's where you see it reflecting. And so part of what we're doing here is simply taking that gospel truth, holding it up to the light, and seeing it turned and shine in all its brilliance as we understand better. Because see, the better you understand how sinful you are, the more you will understand how loved you are by God. If you minimize your sin, then God's love isn't really a big deal. You know, think of the Apostle Paul. Is it 1 Timothy? Calls himself the worst of sinners. First Timothy chapter 1:15. You know, you would think, okay, come on, Paul, aren't you further along than that in your journey? No, he is far along. That's why he calls himself that way, because he's viewed God in all his glory. Yeah. So I hope now when you come to worship, you kind of know some of the thinking behind it. You know that this call to worship has been carefully chosen, the music to fit the theme of the sermon, and the prayer of confession confesses what's coming, the sin that the sermon addresses, and how it all fits together, and how we're equipped and sent off for worship. So anything else? That's class number one in the books. And then got five more. And each time you come, you're going to get a similar kind of presentation. Next week,
Thaxter Price will be here. He's going to present the gospel message. So he's going to delve further into this gospel message, and he'll talk about Trinity's mission. Thaxter also teaches an apologetics, he leads an apologetics group discussion on Thursdays at lunch, if you're ever interested in attending. We talk about different topics that are up for grabs in our culture and our time. So let me close this in prayer. Thanks for being here. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that as holy as you are and as sinful as we are, you love us enough to send a Savior for us. I pray for each one in this class that you'd bless them in innumerable ways as they journey through this intro class. Teach them, guide them, help them to grow and learn. And we pray you would bless us all as we worship you this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.